Hello, folks. This is Peggy Garvey McMahon, your volunteer reader for Sun Sounds, and I have Time Magazine for you today. This week is a special issue. We have the Time 100 Most Influential People, and I'd like to begin by reading you the most influential artists, and this is the list of the most influential artists: Luke Combs, Claire Danes, Benicio del Toro, Jonathan Groff, Jenny Dakota Johnson, Coco Jones, Tayara Jones, Noah Kahan, Ranier Kapoor, Freda McFadden, Anderson Pook, Kiki Palmer, Jafar Panahi, Rhea Seahorn, and Noah Wiley. And we'll start with Luke Combs, country superstar. I first met Luke Combs in 2018 when I was living in Nashville. I heard his song, When It Rains, It Pours, while on holiday with my schoolmates, and it quickly became our soundtrack. As soon as I met Luke, I knew he was a good bloke with talent just spilling out of him. Over the years, I've watched him move from album to album and tour to tour, constantly evolving, not just as an artist, but also as a human, and always for the better. He has scaled the highest heights of music while remaining loving and kind to those around him. People might call that normal, but there's nothing normal about what Luke has achieved. Luke's an incredible writer, singer, and performer. I love his commitment to his family and how that reflects in his music. My favorite album of his is Fathers and Sons. It's a perfect snapshot for any parent of how life is in the moment. I'm looking forward to whatever is next, because really, it can be anything. And this is by Ed Sheeran. Our next artist is Freda McFadden, thrilling writer, and this is by E.L. James. In person, the author Freda McFadden, her nom de plume, has a sweet, shy demeanor. But don't be fooled. Hers is a dark, dark mind that weaves deceptively simple tales into terrifying psychological page-turners like The Housemaid. Fast-paced and addictive, her writing grabs you from the get-go, taking you on a wild roller coaster ride that delivers one whiplash plot twist after another. Her backdrops may be familiar to the reader: a suburban home, a cozy marriage, a housekeeping routine. But with McFadden, nothing is as it seems. Steadily, she ratchets up the tension with hot-button themes of gaslighting, abusive relationships, manipulation, and revenge. She brings the terror home, subverting the familiar until you can't trust anyone. Perhaps it's her background as a physician specializing in brain injuries that gives her this rare insight into the shadows of the human mind. Or maybe she's just as twisted as we think. Whatever sorcery is at work, McFadden is a writer at the top of her game and the undisputed mistress of the psychological thriller. Our next artist is Claire Danes, extraordinary talent. This is by Jesse Eisenberg. A word of warning to actors: you do not want to be on the losing end of an argument with Claire Danes. You will not just lose, you will be crushed. The first scene I worked on with Claire was, luckily, just a brief scuffle. My character wasn't ambitious enough, hers was too dismissive. After the scene, I did the thing that amateurs do. I walked up to Claire Danes, one of our most celebrated actors, and I told her I thought she was amazing. She was polite and returned the compliment, but I dumbly pressed. No, that was exhilarating. My heart is racing. Whatever she stirred in me those brief moments is what she's done for audiences. Claire has been American catharsis, consistently making the unthinkable relatable. She is a gift to our culture. Another word to actors, do whatever you can to get a role opposite Claire Danes. And Eisenberg is a filmmaker and Oscar-nominated writer and actor. Our next influential person is Anderson Paak, A Human Spark, and this is by Natasha Lyonne. You haven't really heard the Beatles until you've heard Anderson Paak on the piano at 4 a.m. alone, sounding out the long and winding road. He's a magician, a legend, a voice and a tone. Andy's 40th birthday was a night full of love, dancing, and family. The sum total of a lifetime of talent, a man at the peak of his powers, laughing with his mom and friends, top of the world. His presence is palpable. It's undeniable. He lights up the whole space, cools and relaxes the place, but still on fire. Feels historic. Anderson Paak is the genuine multi-hyphenate article. No one like him. Funny, unselfconscious, inspired. Humbly aware that he is the keeper of this endless trove of ideas, songs, and stories, including, this year, his directorial debut. Each spark tethering to the next, seamlessly, flying without a net, and yet somehow fully course-corrected. A director, a drummer, a crooner, and a writer, pulling ideas from the ether and realizing them in real time. Basking in Andy's golden glow is a gift for anyone in his orbit. The song said to leave the door open. So, you know, pretty sound advice, it turns out. Andy is the whole constellation. And Lyonne is an Emmy-nominated actor, writer, and producer. Next we have Rhea Shehorn, and this is by Britt Lower. After admiring Rhea Shehorn from afar for a long time, I had the chance to adore her up close while acting opposite her in a film called Sender. She was electric, distinct, and witty, her eyes wide and wise, her tenacity both a sword and a bomb. Rhea has a wondrous laugh which cracks the air like a lightning bolt of joy. I was not at all surprised to learn that she has a background in studio art, Rhea approaching herself as the canvas. She creates rhythm and texture, edges and shadows from thin air. In every role, Rhea connects from an angle unforeseen. She honors the invisible work of acting, time spent with text, tone, and craft, and then shows up to do what she does best, be playful and generous. It is a joy to see the whole world fall in love with her, in Pluribus as Carol, who is as tender as she is tough. Rhea Shehorn is singular, and it is a treasure to know her. And the author Lower is an Emmy-winning actor. Next we have Dakota Johnson, marvelous performer, and this is by Taylor Swift. Nearly 20 years into her fascinating, varied, and eclectic career, everyone is still getting to know Dakota, and it seems the more they learn, the more there is to fall in love with. In recent years, she's promoted her films. The name Dakota Johnson has become synonymous with refreshing honesty in a world of media-trained answers. Maybe it's her sing-song vocal delivery, serenely answering questions with such frank candor that it makes you feel like maybe this girl just can't lie. As her friend, I can vouch for her realness, but add that she's also one of the most empathetic people I have ever known. And maybe it's true that she can't lie, but I'll tell you a few more things that she can't do. She can't stop asking people questions about their lives, endlessly curious about everyone else's human experience. She can't stop challenging herself, taking newer and bolder risks, like building her production company, Tea Time Pictures. She can't stop exploring the most intricate relationship complexities, like in last year's Splitsville and Materialists. Captivating in front of the screen and inquisitive behind it, her unfailing truthfulness helps to shape her ever-evolving storytelling into an art that feels as real and timeless as she is. And she comes by it honestly. And the author Taylor Swift is a Grammy-winning musician. Benicio del Toro, Scene Stealer, and this is by Paul Thomas Anderson. I used to bemoan the fact that I'd never get to work with Humphrey Bogart, Spencer Tracy, or John Garfield, or Charles Laughton. Then one day I woke up and realized I had Benicio del Toro. If I were a movie screen, each year I would make a national holiday celebrating Benicio del Toro and thank him for showing up and blessing me with soul, humor, charisma, and mystery. I have had the pleasure of working with Benicio twice. My time with him in El Paso, Texas, making one battle after another, is the highlight of my career. There isn't a moment from that experience that I don't remember and cherish. My man is as funny as he is deep. He's as wide as the world and as vast as the ocean. Working with him is rewarding, hilarious, fun, and thrilling. How many people fit that description? Happy Benicio del Toro Day 2026. And the author Anderson is an Oscar-winning director, writer, and producer. Coco Jones, A Singular Voice. This is by Jalen Barron. I first met Coco Jones when we were both kids on the set of Disney Channel's Good Luck Charlie. We hit it off and exchanged numbers, and when she saw that I had accidentally saved her name in my phone as Coco, C-O-C-O-A, she said, "Girl, I'm not a spice." We've been friends, best friends ever since, and she's still keeping it real. Coco, C-O-C-O, is someone who will always tell you the truth, even when it's hard. She is an incredibly grounded person. She knows exactly who she is and has never been afraid to be her full self. She's a great example for other young Black women, especially in an industry that is not built for us, that you don't have to compromise your values in order to be successful. Coco has only changed for the better. It's been so inspiring to watch her dreams come true, from winning a Grammy to performing at the Super Bowl, because everything she does is a masterpiece. I'll be by her side forever. And the author Barron is an actor. Ranbir Kapoor, A Cinematic Ambassador, and this is by Aushman Khurrama. There are actors who chase legacy, and there are actors who become one through their craft. Ranbir Kapoor is the latter. In an industry as prolific and passionate as Indian cinema, we often measure greatness in decibels, box office numbers, fan frenzy, opening weekends. But every once in a while, an actor shifts something quieter, yet far more enduring, our emotional vocabulary as an audience. Ranbir has been doing that film after film. In a world where performances are so often amplified, Ranbir internalizes. He shows our culture through quiet restraint. He represents the India that is finally learning how to listen to itself and leave a mark through a simple authenticity. Globally, actors like Ranbir become important cultural bridges. He embodies an India that is evolving, not just in scale, but also in sensitivity. Our cinemas are influencing the world. Ranbir isn't just a movie star. He's a storyteller, talking to a global audience and telling them stories of a fabled, mythical country where epics like the Ramayana have inspired other civilizations and cultures. And the author, Kirana, is an actor. Noah Wiley, A Genuine Soul, and this is by LeVar Burton. Noah Wiley is one of those people who you'd love to hate, except you can't, because he's such a great guy. He is immensely talented, ridiculously accomplished. Just look at his two Emmys for The Pitt, where he's writer, director, executive producer, and star. He's handsome, smart, funny. And those are just his most obvious traits. He wears his compassionate nature as effortlessly as he does his easy sense of humor, a rapier wit, a natty dresser, a great listener. When he says, "Let me know if there's anything I can do," he genuinely means it. Countless are the times that I have considered myself fortunate to call him my friend. He is simply one of my favorite human beings on the planet. Chief among his enviable traits is probably his humility. I'm willing to wager good money that upon reading this, he'll have a difficult time taking it all in. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a saint. I don't know if he's eligible, but for Noah, we should probably go and look up the rules. And the author Burton is a director and an Emmy-nominated actor. Tayara Jones, A Literary Light. This is by Imani Perry. A daughter of Atlanta and a writer of the world, Tayara Jones has blazed her own path through American fiction. Her sensitive coming-of-age stories bloom in the rich landscape of Black women's interior lives. In them, key social issues and important historical moments come alive by way of her characters and their wounds, yearnings, and dreams. Her fifth and most recent novel, Kin, is an exquisite journey through a lifelong friendship between two girls born in Louisiana who enter adulthood at the dawn of the freedom movement. In this novel, as in her preceding books, Tayari revels in language that is both literary and vernacular, and she uses her abundant gifts to deeply contemplate love in all its complexity. Standing in the tradition of civil rights organizers and writers of the late 20th century Black women's literary renaissance, she wears these inheritances like a crown. Tayari is building a legacy while nurturing her fellow writers and dazzling her readers with grace, charm, poise, and a brilliant smile. And Perry is a professor at Harvard and a National Book Award-winning author. Noor Kahan, A Skillful Songwriter. This is by Marcus Mumford. Noor Kahan is the same slightly anxious and more than slightly hilarious person, whether he's on a golf course or backstage or on stage. In an age when we can bluff and polish an image that we present to the world, Noah will give you a true picture of himself. Musically, he brings us closer to our humanity in the same way that some of the great 60s folk songwriters did, pairing lyrics set in a particular space and time with traditionally infused pop melodies like Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell at their best. Noah paints scenes of his own experience that resonate broadly. We can access the universality of our feelings through the individuality of his storytelling. And, like the greats, Noah has modernized the concept of collaboration, creating partnerships in organic ways that few people can. Because it comes from his natural and outspoken love of other artists, he's generous. He respects without sycophancy, and he's effing funny. There's no gloss, and people love it. Noah is not the most glamorous person in the room, but he's the most honest, and that's why so many of us have connected with him as an artist. And the author Mumford is a Grammy-winning musician. Our next artist is Kiki Palmer, Screen Dynamo, and this is by Brian Grazer. Kiki Palmer is the kind of talent that you spend a career hoping to find. Every so often, someone arrives with that rare combination of instinct, intelligence, presence, and it stops you. That is Kiki Palmer. I asked Kiki to star in The Burbs. I gave her almost nothing, only a loose idea of the role. Most actors need more, but not Kiki. She caught it in the air and immediately built something vivid, large, and alive. She found the heartbeat. Then she deepened it, shaped it, and made it more human. Audiences connect to her depth, heart, and authenticity. After shooting only 2 episodes with her, we knew that we wanted her to bring those same qualities and impeccable sense of comedy to our next project, Spaceballs. Kiki doesn't wait to be told, she decides. She doesn't just reflect the moment, she creates it. We are just lucky to be watching. And the author Grazer is an Oscar and Emmy-winning producer. Next, we have Jonathan Groff, Musical Charm, and this is by Sutton Foster. Jonathan Groff radiates from within. I first saw him on stage during Spring Awakening's original run in 2006, and he was so beautiful and heartbreaking and vulnerable. I went on to see him in Hamilton as King George and in Merrily We Roll Along as the composer Franklin Shepard, for which Jonathan won his first Tony in 2024. It's hard to make that character likable, but Jonathan is inherently likable. You just have to root for him. Backstage at Merrily, we sat on the floor of his dressing room, shooting the breeze. He gives the biggest hugs, and he's a real seeker. He wants to understand the world and his place in it. In the past year, Jonathan's portrayal of the pop star Bobby Darin in Just in Time has been a tour de force. The show resonated because he was so connected to his character. Jonathan was a fan of mine growing up, and now I'm a fan of his. And the author, Sutton Foster, is a Tony-winning actor. Next, we have Jenny, a supernova, and this is by Gracie Abrams. To cut to the chase, Jenny is a star. I could go on and on about her accomplishments or her influence in pop culture, but sitting down to write, the thing that comes to mind is the magic at her core, the power that draws you into Jenny the artist. When you're watching her on screen, or as one of 100,000 people in a stadium, it's identical to the power that she carries when you find her in the corner of a party or you run into her in a backstage hallway. What makes Jenny a true star is that even in her quiet moments, she possesses the same kind of undeniable presence that cuts through all the noise. She carries that with kindness and warmth. She is the type of person who will grab both of your hands and squeeze them. And she has a softness that only emphasizes her strength. I just love her. And Abrams is a Grammy-nominated musician. And next we have Jafar Panahi, a defiant director. And this is by Nazanin Bonaidi. I'm going to go to prison for a year, and I'll come out with a new script. Before his recent return to his homeland, iconic Iranian filmmaker Jafar Panahi understood the risks. He has spent decades turning censorship into cinematic resistance, using his craft to pull back the curtain on the realities of life in Iran. At a time when, even before the perils of war, thousands of Iranians were killed for demanding liberty, his work meets the moment with honesty and urgency. Although previously imprisoned for his art, he continues to create. His latest film, It Was Just an Accident, which he shot secretly in Iran, lays bare the political trauma of a nation enduring decades of repression, where justice has yet to arrive. For this, he received the Palme d'Or at the 2025 Cannes Film Festival and two Academy Award nominations. Predictably, the regime had imposed a one-year prison sentence in absentia, along with outside sweeping restrictions on his life and work. And still, he persists, although unvarnished and deeply human in storytelling, Jafar reminds us that art, at its most powerful, is an act of freedom. And Bonaidi, the author, is an actor, producer, and activist. Folks, you're listening to Sun Sounds, and we're continuing now with the 100 most influential people, according to Time Magazine. I've just read you the artists, and we're going to move now to the pioneers section. And the pioneers in the section are Rebecca Ahrens, Nicholas, Josh Amara, Rachel Foster, Sarah Fryer, Lauren Hirsch, Dolores Huerta, Maria Angela Hungaria, Mamadou Amadou Lee, Shannon Minter, Mr. Beast, Zabib Musa Loro, Karen Musunuro, Nancy Silverton, Cece Wei, and Reed Weissman. And we'll start with the pioneer Dolores Huerta, a brave icon. And this is by Gloria Steinem. Organizing to support farm workers was one of my first political endeavors. In the late 1960s, Marion Moses, then a nurse for farm workers with no health care, landed on the East Coast to replicate successful West Coast organizing, boycotting grapes and other products picked by exploited workers. That's why I ended up picketing in front of an A&P store in New York and going to California to march and organize a press conference. Through this activism, I got to know Dolores Huerta, a fierce political organizer, helping farm workers around the country secure better pay and protections. That work made her a civil rights and labor icon. In March, the New York Times reported that Dolores' longtime colleague, labor leader Cesar Chavez, had sexually assaulted young girls and also Dolores in a statement. Dolores wrote, "I have encouraged people to always use their voice. My silence ends here." We can all learn from the courage and conscience that Dolores and others have modeled. The truth about Chavez reminds us to look honestly at the behavior of everyone, including our leaders, and to lend support to those who may be hurt by misused power. It is also a reminder that movements are made of many people, not just one leader. If a leader fails us, we must say so, if the movement is to go on. Dolores' impact, like that of many other activists, will continue to guide us, regardless of the hurtful behavior of any one individual. And Steinem is a writer, political activist, and feminist organizer. Next, we have Mamadou Amadou Lee, Expanding Education, and this is by Catherine Russell. Imagine the frustration of sitting in a classroom, unable to understand the language spoken by the teacher. We know empirically that children learn better when their native languages are integrated in their early years of schooling. And for more than three decades, Mamadou Amadou Lee has worked to ensure that. He works passionately to strengthen education in West and Central Africa by supporting the use of native languages. Under his leadership, the nonprofit Associates in Research and Education for Development has partnered with public schools and education authorities to expand bilingual education that integrates native languages with French from the earliest years of learning. The organization's work contributed to the development of Senegal's harmonized model of bilingual education and has improved education in Senegal and beyond. Lee's pioneering efforts highlight a simple but powerful truth. When education reflects the language and lived experiences of children, it allows them to learn and grow with confidence. And the author Russell is the executive director of UNICEF. Mr. Beast, Eyes on the Prize, and this is by Jeff Probst. I recently had the pleasure of working alongside Mr. Beast, and what struck me most wasn't just the scale at which he operates, but how easily he moves within that world. He runs an incredibly complex operation with total clarity, yet stays open to any idea that might make it better. It's a rare combination: precision and curiosity, discipline and play. You see it in how he leads. There's an energy that feels almost chaotic, but it's grounded in trust, momentum, and a shared belief that a great idea can come from anywhere. I left genuinely inspired by the way he works and empowers the people around him. He built the largest subscriber base on YouTube by understanding attention better than anyone. What stands out is what he does with it. He treats attention like a resource, reinvesting it into bigger ideas, bigger risks, real-world impact, and an extraordinary level of generosity that's become the very central core of who he is. Being around him, even briefly, you get the sense we're only at the beginning of what he is capable of. And the author Probst is the Emmy-winning host of Survivor. Next, we have Sarah Fryer, Transformative Leader, and this is by Tim Cadigan. Sarah Friar has been a central force in shaping some of the world's most transformative companies, including both Square and OpenAI, where today she serves as Chief Financial Officer, creating new pathways for growth. Steering such businesses requires remarkable leadership, navigating immense uncertainty to help colleagues do their best work. Sarah brings a rare combination of operating rigor, creative judgment, and deep personal connection, all powered by fierce intelligence and burning curiosity. One of her greatest strengths is how she earns trust with people, both inside and outside her companies. That trust encourages them to tell her what they are seeing and thinking, not the glossy version. She then synthesizes those perspectives into richer understanding of the whole picture, enabling her to make exceptional decisions that balance risk and opportunity with a rare clarity. Sarah's intellectual courage, warmth, and conviction make her a true breakout leader, both for breakout businesses and for the leaders that she elevates alongside her. And the author, Cadigan, is the CEO of GoFundMe. Okay, next we have Mary Angela, Hungaria, Feeding the World. This is by Kyla Mandel. Roughly half of humanity grows its food with the help of a century-old technology, synthetic fertilizers. Fertilizers revolutionized agriculture, providing essential nutrients to plants. But they come with downsides. Apply too much, and the runoff can contaminate waterways. And since it's made from fossil fuels, the product has a significant carbon footprint. Maria Angelo Hungaria found another way. The 2025 World Food Prize winning Brazilian economist and microbiologist, she has been working with Brazil's Emprapa, Brazilian Agricultural Research Corporation, to develop soil microbes that allow crops to more naturally pull nitrogen from the air. Today, thanks to her work, 85% of Brazil's soybeans are grown using the microbes other than synthetic fertilizers. Her scientific innovations, used around the world, have helped Brazilian farmers save a combined estimated $25 billion per year and avoid releasing 230 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent emissions. "I'll never give up," she told Time last year. "I'm working for a better world." And Mandel is a Time senior editor. Next we have Kieran Musunuru and Rebecca Ahrens Nicholas, Developing an Innovative Treatment, and this is by Jennifer Dudena. Since its advent in 2012, CRISPR genomic editing technology has held the potential to change medicine. But getting from a research breakthrough to practical impacts on patients is no simple feat. In 2025, Doctors Kieran Musunuru and Rebecca Ahrens Nicholas showed that it can be done. When baby KJ was born with a rare metabolic disease, giving him a 50% chance of dying in infancy, the pair led a remarkable multi-institutional team that designed, tested, and administered personalized gene editing therapy. In just 6 months, baby KJ is now home with his family and recently took his first steps. This achievement goes beyond one child. Musunuro, and Orens Nicholas brought together innovations from across biomedical science and proved that on-demand CRISPR therapies can be developed safely and quickly enough to help patients who don't have years to wait. A decade from now, their names will be in medical textbooks, not only for baby KJ, but for opening the door to personalized genetic medicine for thousands of children after him. And the author Doudna is a Nobel Prize-winning biochemist and founder of the Innovative Genomics Institute. Next, we have Nancy Silverton, Nourishing Change, and this is by Ruth Reichel. When Nancy Silverton won the very first James Beard Award for Outstanding Pastry Chef in 1991, a shockwave went rocketing through the food world. A young California woman had beaten two celebrated European men. It was the beginning of a revolution. Young American chefs were invading restaurant kitchens and changing the way that we eat, and women were leading the charge. Nancy has never stopped moving forward. When she couldn't find decent bread for her Los Angeles restaurant, she created La Brea Bakery. Then she introduced a new way of baking and began selling her sourdough loaves in supermarkets. It changed our food landscape, but a greater change was yet to come. In this moment, when fine dining is being roiled by toxic behavior, Nancy's eight restaurants offer proof that nastiness is no recipe for success. Nancy's greatest strength has always been her enormous generosity. 30 years ago, I interviewed a man who was about to open a bakery. "She told me everything," he said. "I never did figure out why." And that is Nancy's secret. Like all great chefs, she wants to nourish people. But she understands that food alone is not enough. It is undoubtedly why the James Beard Foundation plans to give her its Lifetime Achievement Award. And the author, Reichel, is the former editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine. Next is Shannon Minter, Suing for Equality, and this is by Ricardo Martinez. There are advocates who chase the spotlight and those who simply do the work. Shannon Minter, one of the most consequential civil rights attorneys of our generation, is unambiguously the latter. This past year, I watched Shannon, the legal director of the National Center for LGBTQ Rights, argue in Talbot versus USA, representing transgender service members in their battle to continue to serve our country while working in deep collaboration with partners, including GLAAD's Law's Jennifer Levi. When you hear Shannon before the court, what strikes you is his conviction. His steadiness comes from operating squarely within the truth that the Constitution's promise is real. The American dream belongs to all of us, and law, wielded with courage and precision, can be an instrument of genuine justice. With over 30 years of major victories, Shannon carries none of his successes with ego. He has a soft core, a brilliant mind, and love for all beings that radiates even in the courtroom. He reminds us why this work matters and what it looks like to serve something greater than yourself. And Martinez is the executive director of GLBTQ Legal Advocacy and Defenders, GLAAD Law. Next, we have CC Wei, Powering AI, and this is by Jensen Wong. CC Wei leads one of the world's most consequential companies. TSMC has transcended its origins as a chip manufacturer to become the technology platform upon which entire industries are built. At its helm is a humble, disciplined man, leader, partner, and friend that I've known for over two decades. During CC's tenure as CEO, his world moved from mobile first to AI first computing. He recognized this inflection early and helped shift TSMC from only fabricating chips to also creating integrated systems of chips, assembled in complex 3D packages and soon connected with silicon photonics. This evolution made NVIDIA's AI supercomputers possible and helped ignite today's AI revolution. What the company founder, Morris Chang, created, a pure play foundry built on trust, excellence, and partnership, CC has continued to elevate. From PC to internet, mobile to AI, TSMC's unwavering commitment to customers has made it indispensable. TSMC delivers technological excellence and capacity, but it represents far more, a trusted platform to create the tools reshaping our lives. CC Wei is truly one of the most influential people of our time. And the author Wang is the co-founder and CEO of NVIDIA. Next, we have Josh DeMauro, Ascendant CEO, and this is by Bob Iger. I believe in the future of the Walt Disney Company because I believe in Josh DeMauro. He has a deep appreciation for what Disney means to the world, and his wealth of knowledge about the company is bolstered by a strong and abiding respect for Disney fans worldwide. His ability to connect with people is one of his superpowers, and I know that it will serve him well as the eighth CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Josh fundamentally understands how quality, attention to detail, and bold creativity set Disney apart. He will certainly carry those values with him as he leads the company forward. Josh also knows that creativity is the fuel that has always powered Disney, and I am confident that under his leadership, creators and creative processes will endure and thrive. I couldn't be happier for Josh, for the company, and for the millions and millions of Disney fans who love this place and expect that it will continue as a beacon of happiness and joy to the world. And the author, Bob Iger, is a former CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Okay, next we have Reed Wiseman, Lunar Commander, and this is by Jeffrey Kluger. Reed Wiseman led the first crewed mission to venture moonward in 54 years. The spacecraft commander headed a team of four on the Artemis II shakedown cruise of the new Orion spacecraft, flying a trajectory that took them to the moon and then 4,700 miles beyond the lunar far side, further from Earth than any human has ever ventured. There is risk coming, going, and in between. The mission that began atop the most powerful rocket that has ever carried a crew ended with the Orion spacecraft crashing into Earth's atmosphere at a speed exceeding 25,000 miles per hour. But Wiseman, veteran of multiple combat deployments in the Middle East, is accustomed to danger, and he's used to facing it in pursuit of a larger goal. Artemis II is just the first step in America's return to the moon, with Artemis IV set to land there sometime in 2028. We look at Artemis II as the precursor to humans living and working on the lunar surface, Wiseman says. The important thing about being first is that there's a second, a third, and a fourth. And Kluger is Time's editor at large. Next, we have Lauren Herschel and Rachel Foster, Standing Up for Survivors. And this is by Pramila Jayapal. Our country is at a moment of reckoning. The Epstein files have clearly exposed the cruelty of those who used their wealth and power to groom and abuse over 1,000 women and girls. They thought their influence would shield them forever. But thanks to the advocacy and organizing work of Lauren Hirsch and Rachel Foster, alongside the survivor community, it is now clear that we must not rest until those responsible are held accountable. World Without Exploitation, which Lauren and Rachel co-founded, has lifted the voices of the survivors and built a sisterhood that supports survivors and showcases their courage, strength, and tenacity. They have fought for change and made it happen with the release of the files. Taken together, this network continues to expose the depravity of what these women endured and to demand accountability from a society that has closed its eyes to the horrors for far too long. Thanks to their work, we are moving toward justice. Thank you, Lauren and Rachel, for standing up for survivors and for women everywhere. And Jayapal is a U.S. Congresswoman for Washington State. And folks, that does it for Time Magazine for today. We're out of time. I hope you've enjoyed hearing about the 100 most influential artists and pioneers. I will be reading you some of the other categories in the 100 most influential people, the leaders, the titans, and the icons. I've enjoyed reading for you today, and I'll look forward to next time. Have a great week. Bye now.